to eternity. And we strive to encourage one another along that journey. We last week got an opportunity to study, like we are tonight, and we had looked at the subject, take personal responsibility, and we had an alternate subject or topic, let your. And tonight we want to sort of expand on that, and we are going to be looking at let your light so shine. Let your light so shine. In the lesson last week, we had emphasized the fact that in the statement, let your, it is almost a personal commitment, a personal charge that you have it as your task to do. And so we had made reference to the fact that as we scanned the scripture, you know, we saw statements like, let your communication, let your communication, let your speech, let your light. And so we want to expand on the concept of let your light so shine. And it is hope that as we discuss, you will be so enlightened that about what it is that our light is and what does it mean to let it shine. And, you know, the concept of light is that it is very conspicuous. It is very obvious. And so in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, we see scripture giving us an insight as to what light is and the implication of its shining. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14.
Ye are the light of the world.
Ye are the light of the world.
A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid.
Can't be hid.
Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick.
On a candlestick.
And it giveth light unto all that are in the house.
Read.
Let your light so shine before men.
Let your light so shine before men.
That they may see your good works.
That they may see your good works.
And glorify your Father which is in heaven.
And glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
And so this becomes the central text from which we will share for the next few minutes. And among the things we see here is that when we speak about our light shining, that it is something that we do. It is something that is not so much something said, but it is more so something that we do. But the idea of light is that it is very conspicuous. You don't have light and then hide it. It is, you know, the verse 14 says, ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And so in our Christian journey, our light, our influence, our life, our conversation should be of such that it becomes something to behold. It is something that is seen. But not only is it that light is conspicuous, but when we think about light, it becomes a way of life. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 gives this concept. They say, because we are light, but because we are light, then it behoves us that we should live a particular way. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8.
For ye were sometimes darkness.
So you were sometimes darkness.
But now are ye light in
but
the Lord.
But now ye are light. Read.
Light in the Lord. Walk as children of light.
So because you are light, you must walk as children of light. So when we get this ascribed to us that we are light, then it means that we should live a life that represents true light. We can't be saying that we are the light of the world, and yet our examples are saying the opposite. Or you are not seeing positive examples in the way we live. But not only is it that light dictates that it is conspicuous, that it is a way of life, but because we are light, the end result is that it's going to bring salvation. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 47, we see this being brought out. And I don't know if you have another. Well, let's read the King James, but I like how the NIV says it. But let's read the King James first.
For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying,
yeah.
I have set thee to be a light.
I have set you to be a light
of the Gentiles.
Of the Gentiles.
That thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth.
Okay. So you are a light to the Gentiles. But why? You are given the responsibility to bring salvation to them. And so, as Christians, as persons who are light, we should ultimately, by our example, be bringing persons to Christ. That's our ultimate aim and goal. It is not that we are light to say we are light. It is not that we are light to say, oh, I am conspicuously light. It's not that we are light to say, I'm going to live a life that is bright. But key is that because we are light, it is going to cause others to come to God. In fact, that's what the passage that we started off says. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, we are, you know, the Apostle Paul shares with us an implication of us being light. And he says in verse 15 of Philippians chapter 2.
That ye may be blameless
that
and harmless.
That ye may be blameless.
And harmless.
And harmless.
The sons of God. Mm-hmm. Without rebuke.
Without rebuke.
In the midst of a crook and perverse. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation.
So in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation.
Among whom ye shine as light in the world.
Okay, so we are talking about the fact that we are the light of the world. Let your light shine. And so the Apostle Paul is here saying to us that as you let your light shine, we should be found blameless. You want to read the passage for me again, verse 15.
That ye may be blameless and harmless. The sons
not only should we be blameless, but we should be
harmless.
Harmless.
The sons of God.
Harmless sons of God.
Mm-hmm. Without rebuke.
Without rebuke.
In the midst of
so
a crooked.
So the idea here is that you should be without rebuke, you should be without fault. You know, sometimes as Christians, our influences are such that, you know, a person can say, well, you are really the person to blame. But at a time, we are really instigators of great harm, but we didn't quite do the thing. So you are found blameless. But who is blamed? But we, by our disposition, should not be causing hurt. And so we should be really deemed to be harmless, because we are not about to hurt. We are in issues, nobody should be able to rebuke us. That's our ideal situation. But a lot of times, not only is it that we are mostly faulty, you know, none of us really perfect. And a lot of us, we are capable of great harm. But sometimes, even our very action, we are to be blamed for a lot of things that happen. You know, I was seeking an illustration that could probably adequately bring this out. And if we should reflect on us probably observing a motor vehicle collision, we were not, you know, let's say you're in a parking lot and somebody was trying to park and didn't navigate properly, and they hit another parked vehicle. You have observed that, but really, you're not the one to blame. Because you didn't, it's not your vehicle that went and hit the parked vehicle. So you are really blameless. And your way of driving and navigating, you really don't drive recklessly. So nobody can really say, well, you know, this would have probably, they could have thrown any blame on you at all. So you're sort of harmless because you drive carefully. But if you observe that event taking place and you didn't say anything, you know, is anything wrong with that? I didn't hit the vehicle. I didn't have any intent to cause any damage to anybody's vehicle. But the fact that you observe it, and then you see the person come, and you say, you know, this person had hit your vehicle, or you didn't write down the license plate of who you saw hit the vehicle or anything, probably you are at fault. Is that being a good Christian? You know what the world tells us and the law tells us? You are not under duty to say anything. You didn't hit it, you know. But we ought to be our brother's keeper, which is a different rule than what society would tell us. So, what is the point? Even in a world and in a society where that action of being silent is deemed to be okay, as children of light, letting our light shine dictates that we should be watching out for others. That's a challenge, because it is easy for us to just, oh, I'm not to be blamed. I'm harmless in this situation. But to what extent are you found to be warranting rebuke? In fact, in a world, you know, the term used, just read that verse to me again. There are two terms that are used in the passage that I just want to spend a few seconds looking at.
That he may be blameless, mm-hmm, and harmless.
Harmless.
The sons of God,
mm-hmm,
without rebuke.
Without rebuke.
In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation.
In the midst of a crooked
perverse nation.
And perverse. As children of light and persons having and being mandated and commanded to let our light shine, we can easily blend in our society. We can just blend into what our societal norms are, what is normal to society, so that we are not seen. But that is not what we are called to be. We are called to let our light shine. So even in a world of crookedness, even in a world where doing things wrong is okay, as Christians, we should rise above that. Our light should shine. We should be a contrast. In fact, the more crooked the world becomes, that's even more that our characteristic is going to light up and show, because we are going to look odd. We should not be trying to blend in. We should let our light shine. Our light is going to shine by us following the Word of God. And so even in a crooked world, a crooked nation, our light should shine. You know, even in government, they have different indexes and so forth that they talk about, ease of doing business and corruption index, and every year they'll say where does Jamaica rank to the rest of the world and so forth. We must be careful, because we are oftentimes product of our environment. So when wrong starts to look right, we have to be careful. We cannot look to the societal norms to determine if we are righteous or not, because the world is oftentimes crooked. Well, the world is oftentimes perverse. Have things twisted. You know, Brother Finley today touched on, homosexuality, same-sex marriage. That's a perverse world, where things that are wrong appears to be right. I think somebody should be stepping out and trying to solve that problem. Alright? Okay. So, we should have ourselves in a situation. Okay, I will pause and wait. Okay, so, when we find ourselves in a situation where the world has things all twisted, it is then that we are going to shine even brighter. So it shouldn't be that because the world is seeing dishonesty as okay, that as a Christian I should now become dishonest. It's not because in a world where two women can get married in some countries that I'm going to now find myself in a situation where I'm going to be seeing two women getting married as okay. No. In a perverse world, even in that situation, we need to be found blameless. That should not be called among us. We should be found blameless. We should be harmless where crookedness and perverseness is concerned. We should not, nobody should be calling on the Christian and rebuking them because of crooked and perverse actions. No. We should be of a higher standard. We should be the light that they are looking and saying, man, whoa, we can't do this because there are some persons who are way up there morally. But a lot of times, we join them. And so you can't separate us from them because what? We want to blend. But what we are encouraged is to let our light so shine that they may see our good work and come to glorify our Father which is in heaven. You know, the concept of shining is that it is apparent. It is evident. It is no blending that we're talking about. You see, our actions, our good deeds, our right practice results in God being glorified. Can I say that two more times? Our actions, our good deeds, our right practice results in God being glorified. That they may see your good works and glorify you. No, not glorify you, but glorify your Father which is in heaven. So you see, all our light shining, it is not to say, whoa, there goes he's a Christian. But by our action, it will bring glory to the Almighty God. It will bring glory to the Almighty God. I'm going to hasten to say that when we talk about letting our light shine, it is more doing than it is saying. Our light shining is not what we profess to be, but what we are and what we practice in reality. You know, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 2 gives us several examples of this. You know, he is in short saying to us, it is not enough to say. It is not enough to say. And pick up at verse 21 of Romans chapter 2.
Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself?
Thou what version is that?
This is the King James version.
The King James version?
Yes.
Okay, let's go again. So, this person says,
thou therefore, which teachest another.
Say, cheat another. Alright? So, you're...
Teachers.
Okay. Alright. Okay. I think there's a steal coming up. Alright. So you teach another. Okay.
Teachest thou not thyself?
Okay. Good.
Thou that preachest a man should not steal.
Okay. Alright. So there was my. Alright. So steal. That sounds prettier.
Yes.
Alright. Instead of thief. Alright.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Dost thou steal?
Okay. So you say, and you teach and you preach, do not steal. Don't thief. Do you thief? So here is it, you know, as Christians, we are professing Christianity. And we are saying, you know, as a Christian, person should not steal. And we are quick to point. Don't steal. Don't. Question. Do you steal? So what we're talking about, let your light shine. When we say our light is shining, it is not about what we are talking. It is not about what we are saying. But it is what we are doing. And so Paul is saying, you know, you teach and you preach certain things. You say, don't steal. But the question is, do you steal? Read.
Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery.
So you say, don't commit adultery?
Dost thou commit adultery?
Are you doing that? You are saying it is wrong to be sexually immoral. Are you sexually immoral? It is your light that should be shining. Persons should be looking at your example, because that is what is going to cause them to honor and to glorify God, because they probably see where you are coming from and saying, well, I can get there too. So it is not so much what we are saying, but what we are doing. Read on.
Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege?
Okay. So idols. So you abhor, it gets under your skin for people to be putting something before God. They say, how on earth can you be worshipping the sun? How can you be building a pretty thing and then start bowing and worshipping it? So you abhor it. It is repulsive to you. But what? Read.
Thou that makest thy boast of the law.
No man, you go back up to idols.
Dost thou commit adultery? Thou okay. That abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege?
Okay, so you that says, that say, that you abhor, that you detest, that you find repulsive persons putting things before God, do you what?
Commit sacrilege.
Do you commit sacrilege? I want to stop here for a little. Because it's easy for us to jump over this. It's not that easy for us to see stealing and commit adultery. Sacrilege. Idol is anything that we put before God. Anything that causes us to put God second place. So when you say to a person, how can you be worshipping something else? Question. Remember, you know, let your light shine. The question asked by the Apostle Paul is, you know, do you commit sacrilege? Do you disrespect the worship of God? You know, do you rob the temple? That's the idea, you know. And so, to bring this home to us, when we are saying to persons, well, you need to worship God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who is the Father of Jesus Christ, the God who created this world. But we recognize that they are not serving that God. We say, how could they? We can, you know, some persons say there is no God. And we are saying, how could you say that there is no God? And it vexes us to the spirit because we know that there is a God. But then, let your light so shine says, well, if you are saying that all of this that surrounds idolatry, that's what you are saying, vexes your spirit so, are you disrespecting the worship of God? That's the concept of sacrilege. You rob the temple. You cause disrespect to the worship of God. So question. If you are highlighting the error of not worshiping God, how can we be in the middle of worship, striking up a conversation with the person sitting beside us? How can you be having a discussion when worship is occurring. That is paramount and equivalent to sacrilege. Because time that we take to worship God, it is honoring God. And if in that time is when you find the time to be chatting with your friend, then we need to question if our light is shining. What example are we setting for those looking on? Is it a positive light that is shining? Are we blending? I come up with this term. If we are in worship and we think worship is important, how can we be social mediaing? How can we be social mediaing in worship? Well, social mediaing, that one gone over my head, Brother Webb. What is that? How can I be WhatsApping, Facebooking, Twittering, Instagramming, when we are supposed to be giving honor to God? We say that we can't believe that person is not worshiping God. But when we come now to the place of worship, are we giving reverence? Are we giving God the awe? Or do we have our phones and we are playing a game? Question. If we are saying that worship is so important, why is it that it becomes the norm for so many of us to come to worship tired? So that even if I was here all excited, you're so tired that you can't even hear what I say. You're bucking all the time. You know, sometimes something will happen, but all the time, every time you come to church, you have a buck. Is it that you're up too late on a Saturday night? Oh, no, sorry. Is it that you're up too early on a Sunday morning? So that when you come to worship, you cannot be alert enough to listen to the Word of God? If worship is so important and critical, then why in worship are we robbing God? So how can it be that we work for the entire week and we get some money? The entire month and we get some money. But when we come to worship, not an idol, but God, we didn't even remember to work out how much I'm planning to give God. And so, when the plate is passed, and I say, oh, it's collection time. And whatever come up, I leaf through for the smallest denomination I can find and put it in there. How can we? I want that you realize what I'm saying here. What we say, you know, we are saying to persons, worship God. God is due our worship, our adoration, our praise. But when we come to worship Him, this is what we are doing. Yeah? Commit sacrilege. Rob the temple. Rob God of His worth and His worship. How can we be so distracted in worship that we don't even understand what we are singing? We are here to give God worship. The song is being sung. Something sounds a little funny about that grammar, but alright, you'll forgive me. We're singing. And the lyrics of the song, the words of the song, we have no clue what it is saying because we are so distracted. The time of worship ought to be of such that we are thinking about the words being expressed Because the words being expressed is saying something to God. So we are making a commitment to God. We are making a request of God. But what happens sometimes? We are just sounds just going up. We have no sense of what we just sang. So we can't even at the end say amen. How can we be making a big deal? How can we be saying how important worship is? But when we come into worship, we are doing otherwise. You know? How can we be in worship singing? And even the person beside us cannot hear us. And you're not having a sore throat. Or this is just your norm. You know, somebody sit down behind you or in front of you, and they have never heard your voice. Who is it that we are worshiping? God. So here's it now. Let your light so shine. Wow. My light is shining. So the person looking on, seeing me as a Christian who is supposed to be light, and I'm texting, I'm obviously distracted that I don't even know what is being sung. Am I really worshiping God? What examples are we setting? Let your light shine. You see, I spent some time with this one because we oftentimes relate quickly to stealing. We relate quickly to adultery as wrong. But idol and how that ties into worship, sometimes we don't make the connect. But our light shines there too. Our light shines there too. As I try to bring the lesson to a close, well, I didn't even mention, you know, how can we be talking about worship, but when we're taking the communion, you know, we didn't even think about Jesus Christ. We just eaten. That's sacrilege. You know, all of this, you know, we're talking about honoring. Honoring who? Not self, but honoring God. Glory. It brings glory to God. I want you to touch on how can we come in to the place of worship to worship God as a woman and don't hover. How can we as a man come in and hover when we recognize the stratification of authority? Because if you don't cover as a woman, you dishonor your head. We have to think about these things. Let our light so shine. Are we just blending with what everybody else is doing? We have to think about these things. You see that Romans, brother? Romans chapter 2?
Yes, brother.
So we spoke about steal. We spoke about the communion, committing adultery. We spoke about idol. It mentioned anything else? I'm trying to bring the lesson to a close.
Thou that makest thy boast of the law.
So when you make the boast, your boast of the law,
through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God.
Alright, so your boast about the law. Alright. But you dishonor God by breaking it. So I want to equate this boasting of the law to that of being religious. Religion. When we boast about us being righteous and us practicing right religion, how can you do that? But at the same time, we end up breaking the same rules. You know, James chapter 1, verse 24 to 27 talks to us about pure and undefiled religion is this, that you do certain things. All right, pick up at verse 24 to 27. Why don't you try to do this very quickly? Time has gone.
For he beholdeth himself and goes his way,
yes,
and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was.
Mm-hmm. All right, jump to 26.
If any man among you seem to be religious.
If anybody seem to be religious, right? You know, remember the persons who are practicing the law, they deem themselves very religious, you know. All right, so if anybody think that they are religious, read.
And bridleth not his tongue.
But you don't manage your what you say.
Mm-hmm. But deceiveth his own heart.
Deceive him oneself.
Mm-hmm. This man's religion is vain.
It is vain. Amen. So our religion, you see, this is all about what you are saying again. What we are saying. But when we say, let your light shine, it is more about what we are doing. What we are doing. Read.
Pure religion.
Pure religion.
And undefiled before God.
That is undefiled before God.
And the Father is this.
Yes.
To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction.
All right.
And to keep to himself unspotted from the world.
And keep himself unspotted. So when we are going to say that we are practicing pure religion, and we like to say that, we are members of the Church of Christ. We worship the way the Christians in the first century worship. We are the one true church. And we are. But like the person who boasted in the law, but break it, they dishonored God in that action. When we say we are practicing right and pure religion, is it really pure religion? To what extent are we evangelizing? To what extent are we visiting? To what extent are we encouraging one another? To what extent are we keeping ourselves spotless? Are we truly light, shining? Are we? You know, I'm really speaking to us as Christians, because it is easy for us to say, yes, I'm a Christian and so I'm light. But the responsibility is ours. Let your light shine. But we can't. It's not a matter of what we are saying. It is a matter of what we are doing. Because what we do is either going to bring glory and honor to God, or it's going to bring dishonor to God. Go back to Romans again. Romans chapter 2 and verse 23.
Thou that makest thy boast of the law.
You that make your boast in the law. Those of us who are saying that we are religious and we are practicing pure religion.
Through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God?
You know, the King James word, it says it's a little funny. If we read it from the NIV or some other translation, what it literally says is that we, by breaking the law, or we dishonor God by breaking the law. Or it was asking a question, really. And so what we are saying is that when we say we are religious, when we say that we are practicing true religion, when we do not, then we are dishonoring God. But what is it that God really wants us to do? I'm going to go back right where we started. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. That is bringing honor to God. God which is in heaven. Amen. That is how we really let our light shine. Amen. When we practice, when we do, and not so much what we say. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let your light shine. Let us not put too much emphasis on the same thing. Can we do? Do. It is in doing that our light shines. It is in doing. It will cause others to come and glorify God. You know, like when they were speaking to the Christian, it says, well, you, when you do the right thing to the Gentiles, you will bring salvation. That's the biggest way we can evangelize, by what we do. Let your light shine. If you are here and you are not a Christian, then your light can't even start shining. You need to now come into the fold. You need to hear the good news of Christ, that He came to earth and He died for you. You need to believe that, make a decision to change, to turn. When you have made that commitment, it's not done. You need to confess your belief in Him verbally. It is saying that, hey, I am choosing God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then when you would have done that, the final step to get you into Christ is to be immersed underwater for the remission of your sin. And you can do that tonight. And then you can start the journey to let your light shine. We invite the song leader to come. It's a song of invitation. And let us let our light shine.